From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. BNPB provides 349,000 pieces of protective gear to medical team. Slowdown to hurt household MSME corporate financial sectors most. Now the news in details. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, has distributed 349,000 pieces of protective equipment, or APD, to health workers dealing with COVID-19 cases in hospitals. Escorted by Antara News Agency, government spokespersons for COVID-19 handling, Ahmad Yuryanto, at a press conference on Wednesday in Jakarta stated, as many as 349,000 protective equipment have been distributed to meet the needs of health workers who are at forefront of handling COVID-19. Yuryanto explained 360 referral hospitals have been prepared by the government for handling patients under close monitoring, or COVID-19 positive patients. The hospitals belong to the military, the national police, state-owned enterprises, or private-owned. He said it is government joint commitment. This is a serious problem that must be addressed in an integrated way by all parties. Currently, it is not less than 5,000 health workers have been deployed to break the chain of COVID-19 transmission. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati predicted the household, micro, small, and medium enterprises, corporate, and financial sectors will be the most affected by the economic slowdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Indrawati at a press conference held on Wednesday in Jakarta stated, of the four sectors, the most affected would be the household sector, which the government predicts will experience a significant decline in consumption. The finance minister said that the household sector will witness a decline in consumption as people stop venturing out of their homes due to physical distancing measures, resulting in a drop in purchasing power. The household sector is facing loss of income as many workers can no longer work to meet their basic needs. This especially applies to poor and vulnerable families as well as workers in the informal sector. President Joko Widodo said the new emergency hospital on Galang Island will be kept in readiness for treating COVID-19 cases and it will continue to handle infectious disease and conduct research after the pandemic ends. Jokowi also expressed the hope that the need for using the hospital to treat COVID-19 positive patients does not arise. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Jokowi on Wednesday at the Galang Island Emergency Hospital Batam, Riau Island, stated, the government has planned and prepared everything. The government hopes that no cases will happen, but at least Indonesia is ready. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadimulyono, and Chief of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Lieutenant General Doni Monardo, accompanied Jokowi to the hospital. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo reiterated the significance of close cooperation between central and regional governments to thwart the spread of COVID-19 in Indonesia. as quoted by Antaranus Agency President Jokowi during a visit to an emergency hospital on Galang Island, Batam in Riau Island on Wednesday stated. The key to fighting this pandemic is cooperation between central and regional governments from the lowest level of administration. The emergency hospital is projected to serve as a research hospital for infectious disease. Earlier on Tuesday, Jokowi had declared a public health emergency status and called for the impositions of the practice of large-scale social distancing. The government has issued a governmental regulation and presidential decree in connection with the status. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has projected a slowdown in Indonesia's economic growth to 2.3%, and in the worst-case scenario, it could contract by 0.4% owing to the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Indrawati on Wednesday stated, Bank Indonesia, the Central Bank and OJK, the Financial Services Authority, and the Finance Ministry has forecast the economic growth to decline to 2.3%, and in the worst-case scenario, it can contract by 0.4%. The coronavirus outbreak has slowed down economic activities, including financial institutions. Hence, it can potentially curb economic growth to fall below the 2020 target of 5.3%. She remarked the situation has caused a decline in economic activities and applied pressures on financial institutions owing to failure in loan payment or loan relaxations. As a leader in global health and humanitarian response to COVID-19, the United States has acted swiftly to support Asian partners in combating the spread of the virus. According to a statement from the U.S. Mission to Asia, received by Antaranus Agency in Bekasi, West Java on Wednesday, since the outbreak occurred, the U.S. government has offered approximately $18.3 million in emergency health and humanitarian assistance to Asian member states. Globally, as of March 26, 2020, the U.S. has offered an initial investment of nearly $274 million in emergency health and humanitarian assistance to help countries in need, over and above the funding already provided to multilateral organizations such as the World Health Organization and UNICEF. The U.S. Navy is evacuating thousands of sailors from the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt in Guam after its captain warned a coronavirus outbreak was threatening the lives of the crew. As quoted by AFP.com, 93 COVID-19 cases have been discovered among the 4,800-strong Roosevelt crew so far, according to the U.S. Navy. Pentagon officials said on Wednesday they were rapidly arranging hotel rooms on the Pacific Islands for many of the crew while organizing a skeleton team of uninfected sailors to keep the ship operational. Rear Admiral John Minoni, commander for the Marianas region, told reporters in Guam on Wednesday that the plan at this time is to remove as many people off the Teddy Roosevelt as the government can, understanding that they have to leave a certain amount of folks on board to perform normal watchstanding duties that keep the ship running. Speaking in Washington, Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Modley said that almost 1,000 of the crew had been removed, and the number would rise to 2,700 within a couple of days and more after that. China on Wednesday said it has more than 1,300 asymptomatic coronavirus cases, the first time it has released such data following public concerns over people who have tested positive but are not showing symptoms. As quoted by AFP.com, health officials also reported the first imported case from abroad in Wuhan, the epicenter where the virus first emerged late last year, heightening fears of infections being brought into China from other countries. Of 36 new cases reported on Wednesday, 35 were imported from abroad. The National Health Commission, NHC, said 1,367 asymptomatic patients were under medical observation, with 130 new cases added in the last day. The NHC announced Tuesday that it would respond to public concerns by starting to publish daily data on asymptomatic cases, which it said were infectious. There were mass calls, online calls for the information after authorities revealed over the weekend and that an infected woman in Henan province had been in close contact with 3 asymptomatic cases. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is State Finance Policy and Financial System Stability Regulation in Rule of Law Must Be Appreciated. Well, listener, Indonesian government officially issued a regulation in lieu of law, or Perpu number 1/2020 on state finance policy and financial system stability. The ratified regulation was issued on Tuesday because the COVID-19 outbreak in Indonesia had entered a foreseen seriousness category, because it brings about not only health problems but also extraordinary economic implications. This regulation in lieu of law, according to President Joko Widodo, will give foundation for the government and authority in banking industry as well as financial services in preparing measures to ensure people's health as well as safe national economy and financial system stability. It also contains fiscal stimulus, monetary stimulus, financial stimulus, and various policies to overcome all impacts caused by COVID-19 outbreak, both for the people and business entities. Based on this regulation in lieu of law for fiscal policy, the government increased COVID-19 budget in state budget amounting 405.1 trillion rupiah. The amount is allocated for expenditures in health, social protection, and national economy recovery program, which include loan restructuring as well as business guarantee and financing, especially micro, small, and medium businesses. The budget for health sector will be prioritized for medical personnel protection, especially protected gear and medical equipment procurement, repair hospital upgrade, as well as incentive for doctors, nurses, and hospital staffs. Meanwhile, the budget for social protection will be prioritized for 10 million familyhood program recipients. For non-fiscal, the government waived import duty and gave import facilities for some goods. In monetary and finance, the policy focus on providing carrying capacity and maintaining national economic stability. The additional budget is proper despite of being relatively smaller than budget allocated by other countries such as the US, which reached $1 trillion. Although relatively small, additional state budget and various fiscal stimuli can cause deficit in the state budget 2020, which may surpass the 3% limit allowed by state financial law. This year, the deficit is predicted to reach 5.07% from the gross domestic product GDP. To suppress more additional budget and deficit, the government needs to reorganize and reallocate budget optimally. In addition, the government can also use all non-urgent budgets to be focused on COVID-19 handling and its socio-economic impacts. Although the consequence can increase the deficit, people of Indonesia need to appreciate the government's quick response by issuing Perpu number 1/2020 to overcome the negative impact of the COVID-19 outbreak against national economy. After regulation in lieu of law is approved by the House of Representatives DVR, the next main headline is derivative regulations of the Perpu to smoothen the full implementation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over the Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on April 2, 1967, when International Children's Day Book Day was established. International Children's Book Day was established in 1967 by a non-profit international organization built on books for young people based in Switzerland. The date was chosen coinciding with the birthday of Hans Christian, the world's leading children's book writer. The International Children's Book Day is commemorated with various activities such as writing competition and award presentation. The next event is that in 1982, the Argentine army occupied the Malvinas. On April 2, 1982, Argentine troops occupied Falkland Island, better known as the Malvinas Island, in the southeastern region of the country. Malvinas Island was discovered in 1832 by the British and became one of the British colonies. Argentina itself always claims that the Malvinas are part of the country's territory. Thereby, it invaded Malvinas Island in 1982. The Argentine action was not accepted by the British. The British Royal Army was then sent to the area and there was a great battle between them. The sophistication of the British military finally brought it to the victory and drove the Argentine army out of the Malvinas. Although Argentina has lost militarily, the Buenos Aires are still carrying out diplomatic steps to claim the islands. The last event is that in 2007, the World Autism Awareness Day was commemorated. The World Autism Awareness Day has been established by the United Nations since 2007. Nowadays, the commemoration of the World Autism Awareness Day is a moment to foster awareness and commitment of the world community in supporting people with autism and against discrimination against them. The World Autism Awareness Day has been held every year since September 9, 1989. Today's determination is based on the UN General Assembly Resolution number 62-139. The World Autism Awareness Day, which was established on December 18, 2007, was based on the proposal of the Qatar State Representative and supported by all member countries. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Tersiarkan kisah lelaki tangguh bagai satria. Namun saat ia tertatih, takluk oleh dunia. Siapa yang jadi sandarannya? Bisakah kau hidup tanpa teduhnya wanita yang di setiap sujudnya terbising namamu? Ia cerminan sisi terbaikmu. Lindungi hatinya sekalipun di dalam amarah. Rasa racun dunia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, 33 cities participate on Earth Hour 2020 action. As many as 33 cities in Indonesia virtually participated in the Earth Hour 2020 action on Saturday, March 28 at 20:30 to 21:30 local time through the Instagram application or Instagram Live. Acting head of the World Wildlife Fund, WWF Indonesia Task Force, Luka Adiakso, in his written statement received in Jakarta on Friday, March 27, said that community participation in Earth Hour activities and individual participation through the Voice for the Planet platform. The action means that they have helped the country's leaders in the world to make decisions that support the improvement of health and preservation of the Earth, as well as the welfare of all creatures. WWF Indonesia Foundation was firstly held on Earth Hour in 2009 for 2020 amid the struggle against the health crisis due to the COVID-19 virus outbreak. Indonesia, along with more than 180 other countries, continues to carry out Earth Hour commemoration by holding a variety of virtual activities in online network titled Earth Hour at Home. In line with the matter, not only conducting the switch-off activities, this year's Earth Hour facilitates the public to voice their hopes and commitments through online vote collection titled Voice for the Planet. Furthermore, Lukas Adiakso said, each individual can choose one or more about urgent environmental issues, namely plastic waste, transportation and energy, wildlife and forest, as well as water and food. The collected community voice is expected to be the basis and focus of work for state leaders and decision makers, corporate leaders, institutions and organizations in responding to various environmental issues. During the implementation of Earth Hour 2020 in Indonesia, WWF Indonesia and the Earth Hour community in 33 cities focus on four main issues. These issues are building collaborations for campaigns to reduce plastic waste in the ocean, promoting energy-saving campaigns and new renewable energy, initiating youth commitments to build consumer awareness programs for sustainable consumption patterns, and driving awareness-building campaigns related to biodiversity and anti-wildlife trade while protected throughout Indonesia. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jadi seperti yang engkau minta. kau sebenarnya tahu, tapi kau memilih seolah engkau tak tahu. Kau sembunyikan rasa cintaku di balik topeng persahabatanmu yang palsu. Kau jadikan aku kekasih bayangan untuk menemani saat kau merasa sepi. Bertahun lamanya ku jalani kisah cinta sendiri. Mungkin memang benar cinta itu tak lagi berharga. Semua percuma bila engkau tak punya harta. Aku tahu kau sebenarnya tahu, tapi kau memilih seolah engkau tak tahu. Kau sembunyikan rasa cintaku di balik topeng persahabatanmu yang palsu. Kau jadikan aku kekasih bayangan untuk menemani saat kau merasa sepi. Bertahun lamanya ku jalani kisah cinta sendiri. Kau memilih seolah engkau tak tahu. Kau sembunyikan rasa cintaku di balik topeng persahabatanmu yang palsu. Kau jadikan aku kekasih bayangan untuk menemani saat kau marah. Bertahun lamanya ku jalani kisah cinta sendiri. Cinta sendiri.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Raja Prailio Village in East Nusa Tenggara. Raja Prailio is a beautiful village and known with its typical construction of houses, unique tradition and fabric handicraft, which is located in Waingapu, East Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara Province. The uniqueness of traditional village is marked by the existence of traditional houses called umambatang or umahori in local language. The existence of high houses still related to the belief of the local people. The traditional houses have high structure with roof made of leaves. This house is consist of three parts, namely, underground symbolizes the house for dead people, middle part as house for live people, and the roof as house of the gods. There is a unique habit for outsiders when they enter the Raja Pralayu tourism village. The visitor will be offered to eat siri or beetle, but for those who do not like, they do not have to eat it. You must refuse it politely to respect the habit of the local people. At the Pralayu village, you also can see the making process of woven cloth of East Sumba, which is conducted by women. All making process begins from spinning until giving color, which are conducted by hands and traditional tools. Its color is dominated by red, blue, dark purple by using fabric dye. In addition, there is also megalithic tombs called reti and statues of the ancient time which still well maintained. The tombs are decorated by carvings form like human, crocodile, turtle, monkey, and shrimp. In the village, you can also find a very big stone grave. Heading to Raja Pralayu village from Kupang, you can go by plane to Waingapu Airport or to use land transportation by riding Transnusa, which takes approximately 4 hours. From Waingapu, you can go by car to Pralayu village. If you have a plan to stay at night at surrounding the village, you can stay at hotel in Waingapu. That was Indonesian Wonder with a topic about Raja Pralayu village in East Nusa Tenggara province. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hujan tanpa menunggu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Seleni. In today's edition, we present you information on fresh food application is chosen as the best in the world. Application with was made by lecturer of Region and City Planning Technique Faculty, Brawijaya University, Dr. Engineer Fadli Husman, STMT, was chosen to be one of the 100 best startups in the world, which was participated in by 170,000 participants from 166 countries. Entering to be 1% top applicant, he has rights to participate in Startup Istanbul full program on April 14 until 16, 2020. The application, which is carried out by Dr. Engineer Fadli, is called Fresh Food. The application helps farmers be able to sell their agricultural products directly to consumers. The Fresh Food application empowers local farmers and cooperates with farmers' groups. Today, the application cooperates with dozens of farmers' groups in Batu, East Java Province. There are four features which are provided in the application. They are fresh food, buying agriculture products, namely fruits and vegetables, directly from farmers with the best price. Secondly, it's smart farming, helping farmers to make their smart farming. The third one is that the application delivers related information how to plan well. Even trend-word farming is conveyed in e-learning of agriculture. The fourth one is e-shopping. Farmers and users of the application can buy agricultural tools through the application, such as buying seeds, mini tractors, water tanks, sensors, CCTV cameras, and many others. Dr. Fadli explains that the application is like a marketplace. The difference is that the application still controls and accompanies farmers in production and selling, and it is not free as those at the market. For smart farming, his site will facilitate their farming with sensor, CCTV, and many more tools, such as water tanks to spread and etc. Farmers can see and control their agricultural land through the application. He hopes that the application can be applied by many people. This month, March 2020, his team will plant 20 hectares of garlic and 2 hectares of it will use smart farming technology. That was our segment for today, Miss Eleni. Thanks for listening.
dunia mengukir cerita cinta. Namun keadaan berbeda memaksa kita untuk berpisah. Merelakan kau dan aku tak lagi satu. Biarkan cinta ini tetap ada, meski ku coba untuk bertahan. Tak kuasa ku melupakan kisah kita. Ku bernostalgia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to the regular music corner. Today, we will present you a nostalgic song titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku by Iis Sugiarti. The debut singing career of Iis Sugiarti began when she released the album Di Sini Aku Menanti in 1985. With the leading song titled Di Sini Aku Menanti, she gained popularity among the music lovers in Indonesia. The second album of Iis Sugiarti titled Ingatkah Kau Padaku was also successfully produced and booming. This album has a leading song with the same title to the album, which was released in 1986. The song tells a story of a woman who misses her ex-lover while the man is now happily with another. Listener, let us listen to the song Ingatkah Kau Padaku. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.